Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Thanks to Trade Coffee for supporting The Morning Stream. With Trade Coffee, you get fresh roasted and ethically sourced beans from America's best independent roasters. And Trade Coffee ships to you for free as often as you like, whole or ground. Right now, Trade is offering new subscribers a total of $30 off your first order, plus free shipping when you go to drinktrade.com/TMS. Coming up on TMS, the cleanest rock in Utah.
Zoe brings the red on air light.
Torso Pillow Man. What's his power? Hugs.
How does Space Force work?
You're a collapsing version of me.
Dink more pineapple juice.
Hourglass half full.
This panic too shall pass.
Space junk larger than a marble.
I need a break. You're too nice.
Don't yuck somebody's yum, even if it's very yucky.
Pooperation for later.
You want Choco in your taco?
Scanning our noggins with Bill.
Space Katamari Damashi with Bobby and more. On this episode of The Morning Stream.
This boyfriend arm pillow is a soft and cozy body pillow that resembles a torso of a man with a comforting arm that cradles and holds you throughout the night. Feel safe and warm in his embrace while comfortably resting your head on his chest. You will love how comfy and warm this body pillow is, and you will love the way he wraps around you and holds you all throughout the night. Log on to our website or call to order this boyfriend body pillow.
Oh, those bulky folding chairs!
The Morning Stream. You have chosen poorly.
Good morning, everybody. Welcome to TMS. It's Tuesday, August 9th, 2022. I'm Scott Johnson. That's Brian Ibbett. Hi, Brian.
That's right. Oh, my gosh. She gave him my last name. Now I'm going to get hounded.
You're half doxxed. Now we just need the address. Give us your phone number. Give us your social
security number. My address is 123 Main Street, Anytown, USA.
That's right. Come on by. She? we're back. We got a show. It's Tuesday. We're doing stuff. We hope you're all well, wherever the frick you are. And, you know, hope you're okay, you know.
Yeah.
I don't know. Like, you know, it's a precarious world we live in. Just want to make sure everybody's,
yes. You know. That's true. Good point. All right. Good point. I hope you're all safe.
Yeah. Safe, listening in whatever preferred method you have.
Couldn't whatever say preferred position preferred. You like to listen to us in. If it's curled up in a fetal position on the floor or sprawled out on the couch, whatever, you know.
I just realized I say preferred instead of preferred. Should be preferred, right? PR, not preferred.
No.
Preferred?
It's PRE, preferred.
PRE. Yeah, I did preferred, like P-E-R.
Oh, yeah, don't say preferred.
Yeah, I do it backwards.
What,
I
get just some sort of prevert.
Yeah, I'm a How preverted of you.
Yes.
All right. So, I'm going to lay my soul out today a little bit. Right.
Oh, no. Okay.
Yeah,
right, bear it.
A little bit.
Bear it.
Just going to bear it. I'm not, you know, it's nothing new for me because I've talked about it on the show before. But if you didn't know this, Scott Johnson here has experienced, since he was a kid, occasional panic attacks. It's just in me. It just happens. Mm-hmm. And usually out of nowhere. It's not any kind of lead up. It's not like, you know, hey, I did a thing that stressed me out. Therefore, a panic attack. Right. It doesn't work that way.
You can't predict when they're going to happen.
No, they just happen. And you know what? It's okay because after that much time dealing with it, you kind of learn you learn how to deal with it and you learn to recognize it. And it's really not as bad as they were when you didn't know what the hell was going on. And anyway, for some reason, yesterday, massive one, just out of nowhere.
Really?
Having a fine day, getting stuff done, had a great show with you, went on to get a bunch of other crap going. Busy day, you know, but otherwise uneventful. And then suddenly, out of nowhere, massive panic attack. And it's the kind of thing that just like gives me tunnel vision, makes me shake. It's awful. It's really bad. But because I know what they are, I can sort of do whatever I got to do. I can get through it, right? Mm-hmm. Now, if these were brand new and like out of nowhere, I would probably gone to the ER or something, you know?
Right, exactly. But the fact that you've experienced them before, you know, it's like, all right, this too shall pass.
Yeah, this too shall pass.
It doesn't feel like it at the time, I'm sure. Like, it doesn't feel like it's going anywhere. But
yeah, and it's kind of genetic-y in my family. There's lots of history of it. Anyway, so here's what I did. This is the part that I wanted to tell everybody about, because who cares about this? Because I've had them all the time. It might sound a little weird, but here's what I do. Yesterday, for some reason, my brain just said, hey, let's go outside during this. Let's take a bottle of Windex with us. And let's just spray a rock. Let's go outside. There's a big old rock stone in the backyard that has been there since we moved in. You can't move it. Let's just take some Windex, normally used for cleaning windows. Let's take that out there and just randomly a giant rock. That's
interesting.
How I dealt with
it. All right.
Is that weird? That's a little weird, isn't it? It's a little weird.
It's weird. Yeah, I've never heard this method of kind of.
I've never done it before, so this was new.
Yeah.
And I think what it is my, when this happens, I just sort of need to find a thing.
A small task.
A task. There you go.
Yeah.
A small task and then focus on it.
Sure.
Exactly. And I could have, you know, I could have said, well, I should focus on my office. It's freaking a mess right now. I should do that.
Sure.
Or whatever. But no, it was like, nope, get out into the sun, get out into the open air. Let's, you know, the dog will be out there. Let's just spray a little Windex on a rock. And Carter, you know the rock, the one over there that Rainer's always jumping on to bark at the neighbor dog behind the fence?
So it's a dog, or it's a rock big enough to support a dog. Is
big old
large rock. This is no pebble.
Large
stone.
Rock. The little dog, Moira couldn't get up there, but Rainer can jump up there, no problem.
Interesting. Okay.
Yeah. So there's that.
Have you thought of doing that before, or what made you think of of cleaning a rock?
I don't even know. I didn't even take like a rag or anything to wipe it with. It was just spray it and watch it evaporate. Like that's the other thing is
you are the shittiest rock cleaner. I am never hiring you to clean my rocks.
I know.
Oh my God.
You'd think I would at least bring a rag or something.
Right. Exactly. Something.
Yeah. So I went out there with, here's how I think it happened. I looked up and just on the counter was this glass cleaner and I went, okay, I'm taking that. And I'll take it outside and let's just spray this rock.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. All right. It was just like, I mean, you knew that you needed to do some sort of task, focus on a task.
Yeah. It makes it go
separate from everything else that.
Yeah. And it makes it go away. Just like makes it pass. It's not immediate, but it's like a nice little ebb and flow.
That's really interesting.
And then I was fine. Okay. The rest of the day, just fine. No big deal.
This has to be when Wendy, because I know Wendy's out this week, but this has to be a Wendy thing at some point.
We should bring it up. Actually, that's a great point.
It's brilliant.
Yeah, maybe she knows. Maybe there's a thing. Maybe there's a word for this or a book she'll make us read or something. Who knows?
Did you or a test, an online test that she'll make us pay for that she's probably getting some sort of commission for? do you feel like it helped make the panic attack pass faster than they have in the past?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, definitely. Cool. I mean, but it's always something like this. It's just usually something more practical. Like, I might go, I don't know. I remember one time I went and just got in the car, sat there for a second and then got out of the car. That was a little weird, but it worked. Sometimes I just take the dog on a walk. That's a great way to clear it. Mm-hmm. It's just a stupid thing. It freaking sucks.
Just don't clean the dog with Windex. Don't try and combine all these things.
No, I'll never do that. Well, maybe I will. I don't know. We'll see. We'll see. If it's ever bad enough, maybe the dog could use a little.
maybe the dog could use a little bit of wash.
Yeah.
The getting out in the fresh air, as Claire's pointing out, is probably very helpful too. Any of these things that you do for a panic attack, just getting outside, A, changing your environment, but B, also the fresh air.
Yeah, I think the environment thing's a big one. Kind of trying to put your brain somewhere else, really, is what it is.
Right.
So if someone at home can hear this and go, hey, that's not a bad idea. I'm not saying go spray a rock, but I'm saying, if you deal with these, and I know plenty of people who do, do that. I know people who get them in just like during these last couple of years of weirdness, like suddenly they came out of nowhere, they would get panic attacks, probably due to, pandemic reasons and all this other stuff.
Yeah.
those people I feel terrible for because they don't have like a lifetime of having experienced it. And it's very unpleasant. Like you think you're dying if you don't know any better. The other downside of it is, and this is where my brain goes, if you have them enough and they feel like you're dying and you get good at managing them, how would you know if a real problem was happening? You know what I mean?
Oh, I see. What you're
like, what
I
mean, if you were actually dying?
Doesn't. I don't. Would you be able to? Would you confuse a panic attack with a real problem?
Yeah, it happens all the time. That's the problem with them is that they feel like heart attacks. They feel like
I see what you're saying. Like a real medical problem.
Yeah, like a real emergency medical problem.
Oh, sure.
Some of them feel like you're having a stroke or you just had a, you know, your head, you'll get sudden migraine on the left side and you're sure it's like a, you know, you burst a vein or whatever.
If you do your regular, you know, do the things that you've figured out going outside, spraying a rock, whatever.
Yeah.
And it doesn't seem to be helping, take the dog out for a walk, etc. Then it's like, okay, yeah, this is something more serious. Let's go.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah. The hard part is being logical in the moment, but you can.
Yeah, of course.
So it's
Do you tell Kim every time you've got one, like, hey, having a panic attack right now? Or
sure. There have been times where her and I are somewhere and I'll just be, she'll feel my hand tighten around hers a little bit and she'll look at me and go, you having one? I'm like, yeah. But I can usually just sort of, like I say, most people can't even tell that I'm, that it's happening. It's just happening, you know. And sure. And a lot of you out there, anyone out there who's gone through these, you know, A, you know what this feels like. And B, you also know that it's extremely difficult to describe for anyone who hasn't had them. And some people are like, well, I've been nervous before and it's hard for me to explain. It's just not the same. It's like I don't know how to explain it. It's like, if there was suddenly somebody just ran up to you and put a gun in your face, that would produce these feelings, right? Mm-hmm. But when there's nobody there with a gun in your face and those feelings still happen, that's it. That's what it is. It's like this sense of like complete doom, utter doom is happening right then. And so if you're not used to them or you haven't figured out ways to cope, they can be just devastating to you getting anything done. It, you know, can lead to horrible depression, like all that other stuff. But if you can recognize them for what they are, usually it's just like, oh shit, this again. Mm-hmm. Okay, hold on.
Wow. You know. Yeah, I guess I haven't experienced it. I've had anxiety and I've had what I thought were panic attacks, but I think compared to what you're describing, it's like, okay, I just had some major anxiety and not.
Like what you
anything on the level of
what you described
attack.
That one time in Vegas going up to get the awards that one year. Do you remember that?
Oh yeah,
that's as, yes. With the way you described that. That's as close as it sounds. Like
oh
that,
god,
that sounds
yeah,
a
that
lot
was
like it.
Yeah, profuse sweating. The walls were closing in. Kind of the peripheral vision was starting to go gray.
It was. That's a taste of it for sure. No doubt.
Yeah.
Did you get?
No,
like,
that was the funny hat guy time. That was the. That was the Hall of Fame Award.
The Hall of Fame Award when they called you up, right, to go get yours.
And you know what? Easily could have been some sort of imposter syndrome thing there. Easily.
Well, that's usually a part of it, sure. Yeah. But like, did you get little tingly fingers or anything? Like your extremities?
Everything. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Totally.
You had as close to...
Cold and clammy everywhere. And,
yeah. That's pretty close to what I'm describing.
Okay. So that might have been an actual panic attack.
But in that case, you've got actual stimuli to say this is causing
this
me
is
to feel
causing
this way.
It, as opposed to out of nowhere.
Yeah, yeah. The out of nowhere is the debilitating shit part. And, you know, one would expect to have, you know, your first time on a roller coaster, you should be nervous. You'd be a little freaked out. Like that all makes sense. But if you're just at dinner and suddenly you're gripped by it, it's like, what the hell, man?
Anyway. Carter defines it better, right? What I had was an anxiety attack as opposed to a panic attack.
Yeah.
An anxiety attack brought on by panic, but not necessarily an out-of-nowhere panic attack.
Yeah. They sound like things that should be similar or the same, but they're so different. Yeah. Anyway, so there you go, everybody. My new advice, Windex a rock when you feel that one coming on.
All right?
Get that happening. All right, Brian, yesterday you spoke about being at the airport and faking a phone call to go in and...
So that hopefully no one would tow my car while I took a massive while I wrecked the airport bathroom.
Maybe your story stuck around in my head and created a false panic.
Because you were saying that you were getting stressed just thinking about
it. Oh, it was horrifying. Was just that whole story was like my worst nightmare. I freaking hate it.
Yeah.
Well, anyway, we got an email from Jeff Sire, our good pal up in Grafton, Ontario, Canada. Oh, whoops. Sorry.
Canada!
Can't mention it without playing it.
Yes, please do it right.
He wanted to talk about that phone to the ear thing. He says, just a note back up Brian's holding his phone to his ear in the airport to avoid notice. When I was in the Army, I took my reconnaissance patrolman's course in the late 80s. One of the things they covered was escape and evasion. Essentially, they trained us how to be on the run behind enemy lines and make it safely back to friendly forces. Let's see. They brought in a dog handling cops to tell us how dogs would be used to track us, etc. One of the things that really stuck with me was how important it is to carry something in your hands. Our brains subconsciously try to categorize everything, and the idea that was just to lean into it and carry something that made you look like you were part of the scenery. The thing they suggested was a shovel. People would see you with a shovel and just dismiss you from their mind, thinking you were working on the roads or something.
We're so crazy.
It's crazy.
Totally makes sense.
Makes sense to me. Yeah. Nuts. Yeah. Anyway, fast forward 10 years to the late 90s, and I run into a buddy who was on the course with me. He was out of the Army and working in telecommunications. We were catching up, and he mentioned the course and the idea of carrying a tool to blend in. He said it was indeed very true, and when he had his hard hat, tool belt, and toolbox, he became essentially invisible. It's very interesting. So much so that when they had the G7 meeting in Toronto, that's all the world leaders coming to Toronto, for those who don't know. Anyway, he walked past Toronto cops, U.S. Secret Service, and multiple other security agents without being searched in order to install additional phone lines at the Royal York Hotel where the G7 leaders were staying. So Brian's plan for using a phone to stay unobserved was a good one, says Jeff. Well, that makes me a little nervous, though, that he was walking around basically invisible at like the meeting of the world's biggest leaders.
Going right past, like, you know, I love
a lot,
it.
Man. Like,
yeah. Jeez. Wow. Okay. Well, let's not give anybody any ideas. Don't try this at home because now it won't work.
When was that meeting? Was that a recent one? Toronto.
Does he say when the G7? No. Oh, yeah. I guess you're able to look at the.
I just have to see, but
yeah.
Just curious if that's been the last few years. It just seems like security would have been insane. And the fact that you could just kind of walk around as a worker, dude. That's pretty interesting.
Yeah.
Anyway, thank you, Jeff, for that. We also got an email about how space works. All right. So this is important.
Okay.
On a Tuesday where
Claire
we have
looked
Bobby.
It up. 88 or 2010 is when the last
2010. Time. Okay.
Yeah. Nice.
How Space Force works. All right. Because we don't know how Space Force works.
Yes. How does it work?
How does it work? Greetings, star and black hole. I like that.
Sure.
Wait. You're a collapsing version of me then.
Yeah, right? I am. When you collapse, you turn into me.
Oh, man. I mean, it's any day now. So.
That sounds worse, actually.
Yeah, I don't like it. He says, on Wednesday's show, you were questioning what Space Force does. I can answer those questions on a basic level. Space Force provides provides space domain awareness, tracking everything up there and their purpose. There's 500,000 pieces of space junk larger than a marble and 4,500 plus satellites from various countries. Here's some trivia. Luxembourg has 40. Oh, my gosh.
Oh, wow. No kidding. Yep. Luxembourg.
It also does space electronic warfare.
There are more pieces of crap up in the atmosphere from Luxembourg than there are people in Luxembourg.
That's what I was going to say. Like, I don't know why that's surprising. That's a weird number.
It is very surprising.
Imagine what we have up there. Like, it must be insane.
Watch. By the way, we're about to get a lot of emails from people in Luxembourg.
Yeah, I'm sure they're all listening.
Yeah, I'm sure.
Let us know. We'd love to hear from you. That'd be great.
Yeah, exactly.
Anyway, it says they also do space electronic warfare, missile warning.
Can we break that one down? Space electronic warfare.
Yeah, so I assume what that is would be like, via satellite, the Russians are doing something.
Oh, okay. All right. Gotcha.
We're fighting, and it's like cyber warfare on the ground.
It sounds like some Mattel game. Sorry.
Space electronic warfare.
You got me. Only from Mattel.
Yeah, that sounds right. New from Galoob.
Galoob. Right. Okay, good enough. All right. By the way, Michael, don't come up and beat the crap out of me because I'm close. I'm a neighbor.
Yeah, you're a neighbor. Oh, that's right. He's in Colorado Springs.
But yeah, can I get a tour of Space Force?
Yeah, will they let you up there? Let's see. Missile warnings. That makes sense. Space launches, stuff you launch in space,
sure,
or from
sense, of course.
Ground to space. Space electromagnetic warfare. Now, that one I don't get.
That's the sequel to the Mattel game.
That one's on handhelds. It's really good.
Right.
Intel, which is like spy satellite stuff. Satellite communications and GPS. The GPS systems were developed for the military, and it's continued to be operated by the military. We just get the side benefit of that. So I didn't know that. That's interesting. So when you do GPS on your phone, you're an ancillary user of that. That's already a...
We're all part of the Space Force, really helping with that.
Yeah, we all should get the badges with the Star Trek ripoff logo. He says, Brian mentioned the Space Force has left Colorado. There are currently 6 Space Force bases in the country, and 3 of them are in Colorado.
I didn't know that. Okay, I seriously thought that, when Trump was mad at us, and he said, I'm taking my Space Force bases and putting them somewhere else.
He probably did, but he can't.
He's all of a sudden, he's comic book guy, which is great, actually.
He like a lot of, politicians, they'll say a thing and then not do it. So.
And then it would, yeah.
I think that's all that was.
Politics-plaining.
Yeah. it says, let's see, he's got names for it. Tell me if you know this place. Buckley Space Force Base. Do you know
Absolutely,
where that is?
Absolutely, yes.
All right.
Yeah, I didn't realize Buckley is now a Space Force Base. Buckley is...
Space Force Base. It's fun to say.
Space Force Base. Wow, that's hard. Yeah, Space Force Base. Yeah. Carter, we need a new animation of...
let's have Brian and I doing tongue twisters.
All you have to do is just, change a couple pieces of art. You don't even have to do a whole lot of work.
Piece of cake.
Yeah, nope. I definitely know Buckley. That's crazy. I didn't realize Buckley had turned into a Space Force base.
You know why? Because all the weed you got there. You got all the weed that attracts
It's obscured by a green cloud.
all the weed access and then the green cloud, yeah.
Yeah.
He says Space Force will continue to grow. For example, the Air Force Base has 9 missile wings and are not currently part of the Space Force. Eventually, they will be. Back during missile wings, it seems insane or intense. Mm-hmm. Back during the World War I period, military leaders declared that planes were good for reconnaissance, but did not see... Whoops, I skipped the whole thing with one click. I didn't mean to do that. But did not see any future for them. Air Force has been around for 74 years now. There are many things cheesy about Space Force, but the mission is the future. Proud to work for the Space Force, Michael in Colorado Springs.
That's really cool. All right. Can I direct your attention to the Buckley Space Force Base website?
I'm in.
First thing I want you to do, I'm going to give you a link, so give me a second here.
All right.
First thing I want you to do is take a look at the first picture that comes up in the slider and tell me that doesn't worry you a little bit.
All right. Let's see. Buckley Space Force. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, the first image.
It's a few guys standing around a giant hole in the ground with smoke coming up out of the hole.
Yeah, why is that a Space Force thing?
That's the Community Risk Reduction Program, but boy, is that a scary photo.
Yeah, I don't like that at all. That looks like a sinkhole or something. Whoops.
I guess, it looks like a hole. I think it might just be, now that I'm looking at it, it might just be a burnt piece of ground. But it looks like, Jeff Bridges is about to walk out of there and make us all run red lights or something.
Ready for Starman. Let's do it. Look at this. So this is interesting. Oh, there.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a grass fire. Yeah. But it is just a grass fire, but it looks like a hole, like the black part, the burnt part of the grass is,
the edging of it out here has an optical illusion of looking like the edge of a hole.
Yeah.
In the rear there in the foreground or background rather. That's it. That's crazy. Yeah, it's look at all this. Man, they got a whole COVID-19 section. Let's see what they say about that.
It's cool.
Here at Space Force, we believe in vaccinations. all right. Well, there you have it. Space Force.
All right.
Catch it. Thanks, guys.
Space Force.
That was awesome. Love hearing weird stuff.
Yeah, actually, and I did see something about a visitor center. So I'm going to try and check out the Space Force Visitor Center. Get some photos for TMS while I'm there.
Oh, I'd love that. You should do that. When can you do that? Do it now. Just leave now and go. Just go now and no, for real. That sounds like a really cool, that'd be a cool thing to do.
Yeah. So there's one. So next time I'm on the east side of town, I will, cause it's, it's not convenient for me, Scott.
No,
no. But often when I'm lifting, I'll end up in Aurora, southeast of the airport. Gosh, I was just really close to there last week. But next time I'm in the area, I will totally...
Yeah, drop somebody totally off.
The visitor center.
Drop somebody off, turn off your thing for a sec, go in there and let them walk you around, go to the gift shop.
Do they have a public bathroom that I could use?
Do you have a space shitter I can borrow?
That is a new thing that I'm discovering with Lyft is like, all right, Starbucks has gotten so much of my money because I know that they will let you use their bathrooms. And it's like, well, I'm not just going to go in there and pee. I've got to buy something. So I get like either a coffee if it's in the morning or a pineapple refresher or something like that. But they all have to tell you the code to get in the bathrooms and because they have little locks on them.
Oh, they have codes, do they?
They have little code buttons. Or not a lot, not all of them, but most of the ones I've been to. And so, hey, can I wash out my cup? Because I don't want to say, hey, can I go pee? Because I have my own Starbucks cup and I do have to wash it out before they'll put something in it. So I'm like, hey, can I go wash this out? Like, oh yeah, code's 12345. Like, yeah, great. Why even have that on there?
Has anyone written a movie? I know The Invention of Lying is a little bit like this, but maybe that's actually the best example. But I wonder if there's ever going to be a movie or has been a movie where everybody doesn't have the social mores of you having to pretend like you're on a phone or you having to say, I need to wash my cup out or... somebody turning somebody down for a hang, like let's say some couple wants you to hang out and you really dislike being around them.
I see what you're saying.
So all of those niceties and like, so if you're somebody who's, I have a couple of friends who are like severely autistic and they present as autistic mostly when it comes to that sort of thing. So they're just used to saying, I don't want to go or I can't do that.
Right.
You know, like just say actually what they think.
Right, exactly, yes.
They should make a movie about that. But I always wonder what society would be like if we were just more, I don't know, like just say what we mean instead of dancing around it, you know?
Yeah.
Because we all do it.
I know. I mean, I wonder what kind of, you know, we just find out that there are times that we kind of all secretly all hate each other. And it's so hard to come back from that, right? It's like... people that I love hanging out with, people that I consider very good friends, there's just sometimes like, oh, I kind of need a break. And I wouldn't want to offend them of like... Exactly.
Yeah. But what if you did and they also lost the inclination to do the niceties and they would just go...
Well, that's what I'm saying. I think we would all become very solitary people because always in your mind, you'd be thinking of that one time that they needed a break from you. And you'd be thinking... Oh my God, maybe they really don't like me. They just need a break from me. Oh, it sucks.
Yeah. But see, the idea would be they wouldn't have to wonder. They would know exactly what you meant because you would say what you meant.
They would know because, they know that if I don't want to hang out with them, that I tell them I don't want to hang out with them as opposed to pretending that I do want to hang out with them. And,
I know what you're saying. For whatever reason, I just find that I would love, someone asked me the other day, what superpower do you want? It's easy to go flying, invisibility, blah, 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 all these things.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But I sometimes think what I want is the ability to change huge aspects of culture temporarily and make it so I don't want anyone to get hurt. But I would love to just say, for the next 4 hours, I will observe everyone only saying what they think and no nice. Like, I want to see the experiment without it actually hurting or altering or effing anything up. That'd be fun power, you know?
That would be.
That's what I want to do.
Can I tell you just how much I love Zoe Brings Bacon?
I love her too, but tell me why she has earned more love.
Because
from you
in
today.
The chat, she just said, check out the movie with Ricky Gervais and Jennifer Garner where people can't lie. That's like,
you mean The Invention of Lying?
International Red on Air Light there is what that is.
Yeah, thank you for being the Red on Air Light today because it wasn't me. And I'm happy to.
I love you, Zoe. What does Zoe bring? She brings the Red on Air Light.
Yep, she brings the red bacon. Nicely done. All right. I had one other thought I was going to share, but now I'm questioning it.
Wasn't there a lying movie about some sort of invention something?
I know what I was going to tell. Should I even tell you this?
Tell me.
Should I, though?
You don't want to hang out with me anymore.
No.
Go ahead. No. Just tell the truth, Scott.
Here's me worried I'm going to offend some listeners. You know what? I'm just going to tell you.
Okay.
I'll just tell you. Here's the thing. Somebody the other day said to me, because I called somebody like a poop eater or something like that. I was being sarcastic. And someone said...
Were they
said,
divine from the John Waters movies?
No.
Okay. All right. Good.
Raised him. Her. Did she, did... How was her?
She presented as a woman. I,
Did she though? I thought it was just like cross dress.
Just an act. Yeah, I don't know. Yeah, times. I think it was right. I think it was cross dressing as opposed to.
There wasn't like a gender reassignment thing going on there.
No.
Anyway. I said that or something, and the comment back to me via email was, I know you don't mean any harm, but there are actually people who, if you're trying to kink shame people who are into poo-poo, then maybe you should be nicer about it. And I thought this, forget about that for a minute.
Corpophagia, isn't that like the...
Is that what it's called?
Isn't
it's
got that a name? Poop eating? Like poop if you've fetish. Got the kink, is corpophagia or...
Sure. Whatever. Yeah, and to like me, that. It sounds like a horrifying nightmare, but some one man's horrifying nightmare is another person's.
Now I got to look it up because I'm not 100% sure.
Yeah.
Yes.
So anyway, then this story isn't really even about that. What I wanted to say was my brain goes places. You know, when it's not having an intermittent panic attack, it goes places. Sure. And here's where my brain went. Let's say you're a couple... you're a married couple even, you're just really into this, man. You just cannot wait for Saturday night at about 9 o'clock because Bill's going to conjure up a deuce and it's going to be, I don't know. but I always wonder, did that couple, were they having breakfast earlier that morning? And did they look at each other and go, you having eggs? Let's see. What else you got there? You got your... You get a little coffee this morning. What else over there? So, let's see. You got about 12 hours before all this. Maybe you want to eat a little fruit too as well. Maybe. Do they do that? Like, do they have those thoughts? Like, if they're into the thing later, are they also into the moments of like, well, we got to prepare. What are we having?
Probably, right? I assume so.
I can't even imagine this lifestyle, but the conversations that must exist around it must be. To me, it just sounds insane that they would be like, all right, have an oatmeal. Oh, I love when you have oatmeal. Like, what? I don't know why my head goes there. Right.
Could I interest you in some lentils?
Yeah, would you like some lentils?
Have another serving of corn.
Perhaps some cinnamon with your dessert, perhaps. I don't know, man. The whole thing just gives me the willies.
I knew a woman who... No. Do you know what? I'm not even gonna. I can't even do
it's
it.
It's hard. It's hard to talk about. And I'm not. Look, I'm not shaming. I really aren't. I just don't get it. I don't understand.
All right. I was friends with a woman and a girl in high school who really, really wanted her boyfriend to drink more pineapple juice. That's all I'm gonna say.
Well, what a golden opportunity for them, you know?
Oh. No.
Oh no. 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 Not that.
No. It's
In
every waste you might find yourself a pearl.
No, I remember this, there was a story in high
school. Claire. Jeez.
Claire's gross. It reminds me in high school, somebody said that, but with, you're supposed to chew Big Red. That was a thing.
Really?
Yeah.
Huh. Interesting.
No experience. I have no idea, but I'm just saying that was a thing because high school's weird and everybody's weird. All right.
Oh, welcome to TMS PM, but it's in the morning. It's TMS AM.
That's right, everybody. Hope you enjoyed it. Tell your kids not to listen to that last part. All right, here's this now that we're going to do now.
I don't watch the news.
It's time for the news, and it's brought to you by...
Brought to you by a loose peanut in the bed. I think it's the one that Scott ate yesterday during Babel Royale with Brian Dunaway.
So I must have. I took some peanuts. Here's a little lid full. See? Yeah. Uh-huh. I just have these at the handy here. Lid. Yep. Yeah, it's a nice little protein source. You know, you grab a peanut and go for it. And for some reason, one of these peanuts, a little half peanut, was just in the bed. I didn't take them in there, in the bed. I don't know why it was in there. Must have been in my shirt. Could have been.
I was going to say, do you ever get a couple of them and toss them and maybe one of them didn't land in your mouth and went down your shirt? And
it must have. I mean, it's the only explanation I have because how else would a peanut get in there? And Kim's like, I didn't eat a peanut.
Yeah.
I'm like, all right. I guess it was me.
I'm not going to kick her out of bed for eating peanuts.
No, she can stay in here all she wants.
Oh, but speaking of that voice, it's Sam Elliott's birthday today.
Oh, yeah. Happy birthday, Sam Elliott.
78 years old and still kicking, doing great, looking good in that 1883.
You're the bear.
Somebody sent me a text or a tweet today, said, he's awesome. You should watch 1987. He's amazing in it. And I went, 1987. Do you mean movies from 1987? Like, you know, I know he's in Roadhouse and, you know, maybe he's, that's what
but
you
he's
mean.
He's in that new Yellowstone thing, right? Which is 17.
That's 1883.
Did they?
That must be what they meant. Because why would they say 1987?
It auto-corrected. It basically.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, because 1883, I'm aware of. 1987, I mean, I would watch whatever the hell that is, but, you know,
it's not like even, you know, those keys are right next to each other. You're like, oh, if they said, you know, you should watch 1772. Oh, I had my home row. My hand was to the left on my home row.
Yeah, your home row. All right, here's your first story. You know, you heard about, we didn't talk about it, but Klondike got rid of the Choco Taco.
I know. You know, I'm glad we didn't talk about it because I would not have been able to keep from crying that day because
I have great news for you today, but keep going.
Really? Yeah. Really, Scott? What's the great news?
Well, tell me, Wayne, do you have a special connection to Choco Tacos?
I like Choco Tacos. That's my special connection. Right. I like that, you know, Tristan with the ice cream man would come down the street.
Yeah.
Man, I miss those days. Ice Cream Man doesn't come around anymore.
No, I don't see him ever in the summer.
Yeah, anymore. We used to have him, like, you know, on this very street when Tristan was a little kid. He'd run over, he'd get the Super Mario popsicle, which was your basic, you know, shaped like Mario's head with a gumball for a nose.
Yeah.
And I'd get a Choco Taco. And we'd sit there on the porch and we'd eat our iced confectionery.
Do you think popular culture has finally killed the ice cream man, because it's been creepified and there's a crazy clown in there. It's going to murder you. They're going to kidnap kids.
Twisted metal. Exactly. Single-handedly destroyed the ice cream man industry.
Yeah, Sweet Tooth, man. He was a jerk. That guy.
Probably was. Who knows? Because you think COVID would have been perfect. It's like, great ice cream, curbside delivery to my curb.
Yeah. Yeah, you're not wrong. Dice Tomato, you're kind of on the nose here. I'll go ahead and read what happened.
Okay, all right.
Klondike looking at bringing back the Choco Taco after consumer uproar. They say it'll happen in the coming years, whatever that means. Klondike officials Wednesday said they would look at trying to bring back the apparently beloved Choco Taco in the coming years after facing an uproar. We know this is disappointing. We've heard our fans, and we're hoping to bring back this favorite treat back to ice cream trucks in the coming years. Except we just determined there are no ice cream trucks anymore, but whatever.
Yeah. There's got to be, you know, they're in the works of like an app, an ice cream man app, where you basically, you know, if there's enough demand in an area from kids, I'm home this summer, I want ice cream on these days, they can plug it in and actually get
That's not bad. It's not a bad idea.
That's something you could do, right? Easily.
We got this gig economy going. Why not? Let's do it. Ice cream man.
Would you trust some sort of rando? I guess, would you trust the rando who drives an ice cream truck versus the rando who drives a Subaru that happens to have ice cream in the back? Mm. Guess the same thing, isn't it?
It kind of is.
Yeah.
I mean, there's no
vetting. The ice cream truck company doesn't vet the people it puts in there and say, okay, do a background check on this fella.
Well, they try to fool you because they got music, you know, they got pretty colors or whatever. So you always think, oh, that's more legit, but really that's the same serial killer, you know, rapist man inside there.
And it's one of the few one of the few jobs where we still just say man. We don't say ice cream person. We say ice cream man.
You're right.
Sure, there's many women.
Why did that ever have a big uproar, I wonder?
Yeah.
Yeah. No women wanted to be associated with the creepy stuff that happens in an ice cream van. I don't know.
Right.
Ice cream man van.
Ice cream person. Ice cream.
Well, I got a picture of Vanna the other day down. Or no, I'm. This is not the other day. It was a while ago, but we got him down near a river, and we literally now had a picture of a van down by the river.
A van down by the river.
Yeah. That was a thing I've been trying to do since he was born.
That's fantastic. Excellent. Yeah.
I can't wait for this new one. I'm so excited.
I miss Chris Farley.
I do too, man. So freaking funny. Yeah. The frick, bring him back. Can we reconstitute
So I've started listening to in my free time, started listening to the podcast David Spade and Dana Carvey put on about the old Saturday Night Live days. And the Rob Lowe one is fantastic because they talk a little bit about this fight that that Farley and Spade had during the making of Tommy Boy, when David Spade got to hang out with Rob Lowe while Farley was on the other side of the country having to do like a sketch thing or record something. Yeah. And so he comes back. He's like, hey, did you have fun with Rob Lowe? And they got into a
big fight about it. Well, they were so inseparable. I think they were as close to best friends as you could be, right? So they probably had their little fighty moments or whatever. I need to listen to that. That sounds great.
It's really, really good. Jedi 71 is correct. They do need better microphones. I'm on an early episode, so I don't know if they ever get better, but there are times that you can't tell Carvey's voice from Spade's because they're very similar in tone. It's, you know, you get that kind of nasally. They both have that kind of nasally thing going on.
Yep.
And you just got to wait for like some real sarcasm. And it's like, oh, that's Spade.
I forgot those two had any crossover, but I guess Carvey was there when those two chuckleheads came on.
Yeah, it was, I think, a little bit, right? It was, you know, during the changing of the guard of the 80s.
A little bit of a spread there. Chad, here's a picture of the Taco Taco for those asking what it looks like. That's the delectable item there. It's an ice cream, you know, it's basically just an ice cream cone with a different formation. It's, you know.
It is. It really is. It's a drumstick. If you want to know what it is, it's a drumstick that's been flattened out and turned into a taco shape is all it is.
Yeah. Yeah. And look, I'm sure it's very
same,
good.
Same. It is the, you know, it's the Taco Bell of drumsticks. It's the same ingredients, just arranged in a different way.
Yeah. So they're bringing it back because they've heard you, which probably just means the stunt worked, and now they're going to have a huge run on these, and they'll make a lot of money.
You remember what they did with the Mexican pizza? We talked about it here, speaking of Taco Bell, and said, because of demand, we're bringing it back. We're so sorry. We took it off the menu. It's here to stay forever. Oh, we didn't anticipate how much you guys wanted it, and now we're out of it again, and they've been out of it for months.
Yeah. I don't buy it. I think there's some bullshittery. There's
some weird bullshittery going on. Yeah, yes.
I agree. All right. Speaking of food you shouldn't eat, probably.
Sure. All right.
Here's a McDonald's story. That's an artist.
Segue.
Yeah, that's not bad. An artist threw the pickle from a McDonald's burger on a ceiling and is charging $6,325 for it.
Okay. The grammar of that sentence, I think it should be onto a ceiling, but I'll let it go.
I agree with you. Actually, it's bad writing over at today.com.
Today. Wow.
I know.
Hoda.
Fancy.
Hoda, please get on the case. Willie Geist, what are you doing over there?
Yeah, I don't know who any of these people are because I don't
watch Savannah Guthrie.
Wait, what happened to Matt Lauer and Jingle Von
You Jingle? Don't want to know what happened to Matt Lauer.
Yeah, never mind. I know exactly what happened to that guy.
First he got rid of Ann Curry, and then they got rid of him.
Oh, poor Ann Curry.
Yeah.
She did give us this, though. Nope.
Good morning. Good morning, everybody. In the news this morning, good morning.
It's amazing.
It's the best.
It's one of the greatest things ever. Anyway.
Yeah.
So here's the deal. Pickle. Australian artist Matthew Griffin debuted a piece of work he called Pickle. It's very simple. Okay. It's a single slice of pickle he plucked from a McDonald's cheeseburger and subsequently stuck to the pristine white ceiling of a gallery space. And no, it allegedly never fell from the spot. Quite an arm, Picasso, they say. That's stupid.
Yeah.
Anyway.
It is stupid, but what I do like in this thing is in the sentence they do manage to use both plucked and chucked without trying to make it run.
Adventures of Pluck and Chuck.
Coming to Nickelodeon.
That's right. The work, which was recently shown at Michael Lett, a New Zealand gallery that hosted the former cucumber at its show called Hosting Fine Arts Sydney. He's known for all sorts of bullshit. He's known for other art and stuff. Anyway, he wants to sell this thing for $10,000 Australian, which is about $6,329 US. Brian, would you pay for this pickle at that level?
Well, first of all, I'd like to. Let's do this in cliff voice. Yeah, I'd like to point out that it's not really so much about the pickle; it's about the ketchup and the tenacity of the adherence from the ketchup to said ceiling.
All right,
it is. It's not about the pickle; it's about the ketchup. Let's face it.
It is. You're right. I don't think the pickle is of the worst.
You throw a clean pickle at a ceiling; it's not going to stick. But you need that ketchup. You want that ketchup.
That's right. Your car is not cool, but the gas that drives it. See, think of that. Think of those things. You got to look at what's underneath. It's not just a pickle. Right. There's some adhesive ass ketchup business going on. I think
the whole thing, here's what sucks about the whole thing, is that, oh, here you go. Here's, you know, here's the pickle that I threw at the ceiling. You want the ceiling too. Like, the only way really to make this work is to cut that chunk of ceiling with the pickle and the ketchup and sell that.
Yeah. Yeah. You're right. You want the ceiling. Yeah. You know what you need? You need the ceiling at the McDonald's.
Well, yeah. Yeah. Did he do it at it was at the McDonald's?
No, he did it at the gallery. Took the pickle
at
with
the gallery.
Him and then okay. flicked it onto the ceiling in the gallery and said, here's my art. I just think this is trolly as hell. When people do this sort of thing, exactly. they for it to work, they count on people being suckers. So well done, right. you suckers.
Right. Yeah, that's effed up. Ugh. Dumb.
It's dumb.
Dumb. Griffin.
Check your watches, everybody. Earth broke the record for the shortest day since atomic clocks were invented as of, let's see, what day was it? Doesn't say what the hell day
June
it was.
June 29th.
June 29th.
Yep.
They recorded the shortest day on Earth since the invention of the atomic clock. Planet's rotation measured at 1.59 milliseconds short of the normal 24-hour day on June 29th, according to the International Earth Rotation and Reference System Service, an organization in charge of global timekeeping. Rotation of the length of time, sorry, a rotation is the length of time the Earth takes to spin once on its axis, which is roughly 84,600 seconds. The previous record was documented on July 19th, 2020, when the day measured 1.47 milliseconds shorter than normal. Anyway, you may not think that's very much. It's not really, because it isn't.
It isn't very much, yeah.
It's not very much at all. It is. It just shows a weakness. It shows a weakness in our ability to get that 100% correct. Because Earth's going to do little changes here and there and do weird shit. Humans have whatever thing we came up with to measure a thing, and now it's not exactly right. So I don't know who you blame.
That's why we have leap years and stuff like that. We get, you know, need to have adjustment things built in for adjustments.
I agree. So go check your clocks, set them accordingly.
Listen, the Mickey Mouse is on me and my wife's Apple Watches still sync up. So as long as that's happening, then
you guys still use that face? I like that face.
No, I don't. No. This is my favorite face right here. Is that's the one that's got every piece of information. Let's tap it. There it is.
Oh yeah, I like all the info too. Yeah. Before mine broke, I loved having all the data like that.
Yeah, I want time. I want to know what the weather's going to be for the next, you know, 6 hours. I want whatever battery power I have on here, how far I am on my rings, and what's the current temperature.
Yeah, I like that. Bobby Frank says he thinks it's the opposite. This shows how good we are at tracking things. No, that's a good way of looking at it. I don't want to see all the. I don't want to see the poo-poo end of the stick here.
Oh.
Yes. I think that's a good point. We are really good at this. You're right.
Hourglass half full. Well done, Bobby.
Yeah. Oh, that was good.
Thank you.
Someone write that down. Holy shit. That was actually really, really perfect. You know, sometimes our jokes are cheesy and whatever. That was enlightened. That was really good.
Oh, thank you. Thank you very much.
You're welcome. We're going to take a break. When we return, speaking of Bobby, he'll be on. But before him, Bill will be here. Bill will be here first. It's like cut the ring green wire. But before you cut the green wire, cut the red wire. Anyway, that'll be upcoming here soon. But we can't do any of this shit without a song. So what do you got there?
Yeah, this is a guitar-driven indie classic. Listen, the label describes this guy as an ace new UK indie artist. And I agree. This guy is ace. I agree with Nub Music. Completely true. This guy's from St. Albans in the UK, and he's been influenced by bands like the Pixies, Radiohead, and Smashing Pumpkins. I can hear a little bit of that in here. The song is called My Friend. Brand new single from Mark J. Gidden. Here is My Friend.
It's all so free to smash the crowd. Create me in your non-distant time. You've been possessed by someone who couldn't be. All the things you need, you find the green to be complete. It's over and out of sight. She just might, she just might come over when it feels right. She just might, she just might feel.
Talk about coffee from our good friends at Trade Coffee. Oh man, Trade's so great. Everybody around here fell in love with these guys as soon as we got the stuff. Trade Coffee connects customers to the freshest and best tasting coffees you've ever tasted. Certainly better than anything you've made at home. And they do this by partnering with the country's best craft roasters. These are independent businesses. They might be from small towns to big cities. Trade customers are truly in impactful to these independent roasters. This is an important thing, okay? Don't forget that. Got to help those small businesses. That's one way to do it. It's sometimes the largest source of growth for those guys, so we got to do that. Expertly tasted coffees are the name of the game. Trade's coffee team actually taste tests thousands of coffees to keep 450, that's right, 450 different kinds live and ready to ship any day. There's no one perfect coffee out there, but there is a perfect coffee for you. And Trade's human-powered algorithm, well, they're going to find it. They also have a first-match guarantee, which says this. Trade is so confident, they'll match you the right time the first time, okay? And if they don't, they'll take your feedback, and an actual coffee expert will get with you and send you a brand-new bag for free. All right? It's pretty great. So, all I know is, as someone who's not much of a connoisseur of coffees, you know, I don't really know the difference between a lot of them. I can tell you that what I tasted here did taste way better than I'm used to. And the coffee drinkers in my life loved what Trade sent. It's really, really good. And taking the test on the site, super easy. You'll be in and out of there in no time. So go check it out right now. They're offering new subscribers a total of $30 off your first order. Plus free shipping when you go to drinktrade.com/TMS. That's more than 40 cups of coffee for free. So get started today. Take their quiz at drinktrade.com/TMS and let Trade find a coffee you'll love. That's drinktrade.com/TMS for $30 off.
The convenient and compact chair that folds up and fits right in your pocket.
Introducing the Titty Bear.
Every time. Yep.
The Morning Stream. You're soaking in it.
And we have returned. Who is that again?
That was Mark J. Gidden from St. Albans in the UK. That is an indie guitarist with a brand new song called My Friend.
Aw, I like My Friend.
My Friend.
My Friend.
Hello, my friend.
Hello.
Your bat cave's open there, Bill.
All right, Bill Duran joins us. As you know, it's speaking of friends, good friend Bill Duran joining us on Tuesdays to talk about the world of making things. And Bill, I assume today's probably no different. How are you?
You assume correct. I'm doing
good.
Great.
Good. I try not to assume, but, you know, I do what I can.
I got a fun project I'm working on, and I have a cool technique I want to talk about.
Ooh. Cool. I can't wait to find out what this is, so lay it on us.
Have either of you tried to do any 3D scanning with your phone?
No.
I did early on. Yeah, there was some app where it was like, basically I stood in one place while a crazy neighbor waved the phone all around me to try and get a recording of
it. So is it the iPhone's supposed to have a really, really good spatial thing, right? Like supposed to be good at it.
You just need an app to do it. What? But it's a long time ago. I'm sure things have gotten better, haven't they?
Yeah, probably.
They sure have. And I've been playing with it a whole bunch, and I've even started using it in projects. Mostly, I've just been doing it for fun. I got the app on my phone. I can grab things out in the world with it. Like I'm taking a snapshot, which is kind of neat since it's in my pocket. So for example, when I was in Hawaii, among other things, there were these 400-year-old petroglyphs, just a rock with a cool carving on it. Mm-hmm. And I scanned a couple of those, and now I have them forever. I have a perfect 3D, quote-unquote perfect, 3D representation of the petroglyphs on my phone now. And I can take it, that 3D, I could scan it, or I could 3D print it if I want. I could put it in a movie if I want. It's just kind of amazing that I can take my phone, run the camera around an object for like a minute, and then I've captured the whole thing.
That's really cool.
What's the app du jour at the moment? There's so many in here.
Right. Polycam is one I've been using. It seems to be one of the better ones. Mm-hmm. Sure. Now, a lot of the phones, so my phone, I got the 12 Pro Max because it has a LiDAR camera on it.
Yeah.
But you don't need that to use these apps. You can scan with LiDAR, but you can also scan with just using images. But also, Polycam has a website. So you can take a bunch of photos of an object from every angle, like 100 photos, and then upload those right to their website, and it'll do all the processing right there. You don't even need to use your phone.
Interesting.
And I've been trying both of those methods to great results.
Ew, weird. People are doing their faces and stuff. Ew.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Well, I just tweeted out an image of my 3D scanned head that I'm using in a project. You go check that out.
I am going to go there right now.
So if you do have a LiDAR camera on your phone, you can use that option. And it's generally good for, it actually projects a real-time 3D model as you're walking around, which is kind of neat. But it's better for scanning large things like the inside of a room or the outside of a building. It doesn't do detail really, really well. If you want to get small detail, if you want to scan small things, then you want to use the photo mode. And like you were saying, Brian, you just walk around while you get your crazy neighbor to point your phone at your face. And
this is so cool. Wow.
It's really fun. We scanned our noggins for this project.
Why'd you close your eyes, by the way, for that?
So that I don't have some images with my eyes open and some images with my eyes closed.
Gotcha.
Might as well just keep them closed.
Sure,
yeah.
Sure.
I had Britt try. I did a model of Brit's head, and she had her eyes open for some of it, which means one of her eyes was looking kind of weird because she blinked while it was taking a photo. So we don't need our eyes for these models, so we just kept them closed. It seemed to work really well.
Really, really good. It's so much better than it was years ago when I had, like I said, had crazy neighbor do it.
Yeah, yeah. And this one was just with my phone, just waving my phone around my head.
Huh.
So can you now print that? You know what I mean?
I could, yeah, I could. I wouldn't have the color on it, obviously. I'd have to repaint the color, but you could 3D print that. Now, the files it spits out need a little work. They're not perfect all the time.
Sure.
So mine, I had to chuck into a couple of applications before I could put them in Fusion 360. I had to use Mesh Mixer to clean it up a little bit. I trimmed off some of the geometry I didn't need. And then I had to simplify the geometry. That was like 90,000 polygons. And Fusion doesn't like anything over 10,000 polygons getting imported. So I decimated it down, and then I threw it in Fusion, and it works great.
Yeah.
I can take measurements out
kind of thing. Yeah.
Yeah. I can take measurements with calipers of my real head, which is what I did to confirm the scale. So I measured that from ear tip to ear tip, it's like 181 millimeters or something like that. And then I went in Fusion and I measured the same two points to verify that it's exactly the same size. And it is. And then I can just 3D model around it.
That's kind of cool. Awesome. That's pretty cool. I love it.
Oh, very cool, man. That's great.
I'm looking at my office here. Oh, yeah, that's crazy how good that did. Wow. I mean, I didn't do it very long, and I kind of was very quick about it, but it got my microphone, the two monitors. It rendered Brian's face.
Yeah. What? Really? From
Yeah, I'll send you this. Right now it's a little skrumpus, but I'll send you this image. It's pretty great.
Yeah.
That kind of stuff. This stuff fascinates me, and I don't know even why. I mean, I could take a picture of my desktop, and it would look cool, but there's something about, I don't know, just having all this 3D
of having like the object, like knowing the facets that make it up.
And you can, it's like a photo, but you can turn the object around and see the other side of it.
Did you, can you, does lighting matter? Like, does that have a big impact or a factor here?
Yeah. So you want good light just so that you could get good images anyway. Yeah. And then it depends on the output of your model. So for me, I'm using these for scale reference. It doesn't actually matter what the texture looks like. It's kind of nice that it includes it, but it's not necessary.
Yeah.
So if you're going to use something, let's say you're going to scan something, and I see people do this all the time now. If they're making a 3D scene of some kind, they're making a short film or something or a movie, and they just need to fill the background with stuff. They'll go outside, 3D scan a tree, and then chuck it in the background. It's blurry in the background, doesn't need to be perfect. Throw it in the scene. However, you don't want to take, if your scene is supposed to look overcast, you don't want to scan something with lighting that is direct sunlight, because the model will permanently have direct sunlight on it. If that the texture will look like it permanently has direct sunlight on it.
Sure.
So depending on your output, you may want to be more you may want to try and scan something with overcast light anyway, so it's nice and soft, doesn't have hard shadows. But anyway, there's a ton of practice to do, like learning how to take photos really well, learning what is good lighting for what your output is and all that. And it's worth just playing with a whole bunch, because it's so cool. You could just make models and you're like, oh, that didn't work. Throw it away.
Yeah.
I paid for an account. I think it's like $6 a month, and they'll let you do 150 of them a month. So that'll keep me busy.
Wow.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's awesome, dude. I love this kind of stuff.
Very cool.
You made me want to go try all these apps and just see what's good. This one seems to, the one you tell us about is like tons of reviews, almost full 5 stars. It seems like that's the one to
seems
have
like the
And if anyone's interested in this, like I said, just grab the app, and when you're out and about, give it a shot. If you're out, if you see a non-moving object, I even scanned my cat when he was asleep.
There's a really cool sculpture in downtown Denver that I think would be awesome to scan and 3D print and see if I can make a little desktop version of it.
Yeah, that'd be cool.
I've scanned, I made some props for our friends at Film Riot that they used in a film. So I mailed the props off to them, but before I mailed them, I scanned them. So I still have 3D models of the props I made.
Brilliant. Oh, that's great. What a great use.
Yeah.
Oh yeah. And then, some things to keep in mind, shiny things still don't work great.
Sure,
shiny.
That makes sense. Yeah, reflective. Yeah.
Yeah. So I tried to scan my car, and it's just a mess. It didn't really work all that well.
Yeah.
Now for our we're making helmets right now. The head scanning is for making some space helmets, and the visor. I have a visor, a store bought like face covering visor that I want to use. So I scanned that, but since it's reflective, I covered it in masking tape. I just covered every surface in masking tape and scanned it, and it worked perfectly.
Really? It's a great solution.
So I dropped that in Fusion 360 as well, and now I can 3D model around that visor, and I know it'll fit.
That's cool.
Which is kind of awesome.
Yeah, that is awesome. Well, look at you, new tool in your toolbox, man.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I hope people give it a shot and go play with it. It's really neat.
I agree. Go check those out. And I know some of the Android phones also have similar features. You can probably find similar apps. So for those Android users out there, get your LiDAR scanning on. You bring a little bonus link for us this week. What do you got?
I do, yeah. So this is our friends over at Kamui Cosplay. And a year ago, they did a video on 3D scanning for a costume they were working on. So if you're interested in learning more about this for cosplay, they've got a video. And then we'll have a video out soon showing how we're using it to make some space helmets.
Yeah, no kidding. Oh, see, look at this. Wow. Dude, some of this is creepy good.
So glad right? this guy has a weird, is making a weird face with his YouTube title card, by the way.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. It's the way of the future.
It is. It works, obviously. Yeah. It, you know.
I hate that it works. I really hate it. But oh, yeah. All the videos I've done that have more engagement are with that stupid outline and a face every time.
Now, see, if I put my face in a thumbnail, it's poison. The only thing people want to see in my thumbnails are a big photo of the prop.
Yeah, sure. Yeah, and if you're doing, see, similar situation, right? Like, if you're going for whatever, you can argue whether it's good personality or not, but if you're going for somebody who's just your favorite commentator or he's funny when he plays video games or whatever, the face with the outline, that makes sense. But if you're like a serious crafting dude, nobody wants to see you going, ooh.
If you made a video, though, that was 10 things you don't ever want to do when you're recreating props, you need to have your face on there going,
yeah, I bet.
Yeah.
holding up a handful of melting hot glue and looking like I'm screaming. Yeah, I can see that.
You know what it is? It's the current, it's the today version of what all those old infomercials did when they did the black and white, like, have you tried to put a blanket away? And the lady's going, whoa! Right. The
black and white, inept, like, I can't fold this.
That's kind of what this modern day equivalent of is. It drives me crazy. Anyway, Bill, as always, it's a pleasure. If people want to check out your work, they can go over to punishprops.com, of course, or the YouTube channel with the same name. Thanks for hanging out with us, man. I hope you're doing good. Oh, you're going to, there's a new con coming up. When's that? What's going on?
Oh, I'm glad you mentioned that. Yeah. So Silicon is Adam Savage's con.
Great name.
Yeah, that's great.
SiliconSJ.com is the website. That is August 27th and 28th in San Jose. And there are going to be a ton of maker guests there, including me, but just a crap load of my friends. I'm excited to just go hang out with like a dozen of my friends. And you can too.
Yeah.
So if anyone's going to be in the area that weekend, please come to the event. It's going to be awesome. Lots of making. Lots of makers.
Agree. Also, I was watching TikTok the other day and one of Allie's videos popped up and there was Bill again doing some shit.
I forgot. Go watch Allie's video. Yeah. That'll be my recommendation next week. But I helped Allie Spagnola make a bear head with deer antlers.
Yep. Deer bear.
Deer bear. Yeah. Bear deer. Yeah. A bear deer. Go look at it. It's great. Bill, have a great week. And we'll look forward to hearing the four other rad things you did when we talk to you next time.
See ya.
Bye now.
See ya.
All right.
Cool. Very cool.
It is cool. I'm going to mess with that scanner today.
I'm sure you are, yeah.
I'm going to take a minute for myself. That's what I'll do next time. I'll scan the rock that I sprayed with.
Oh, there you go. That'll
distract me.
good solution.
All right. Bobby time, everyone. Put on your Bobby clothes. Because he's coming in here hot and ready to trot. don't know what any of that means, but sure, why not? Let me find his intro first. That'd be good.
Science.
Hey, look who it is. It's Bobby Frankenberger joining us for some science talk. He is the host, or one of the hosts, of the fine podcast, All Around Science, and a great member of the Frog Pants community. Welcome back, Bobby.
Thanks for having me back.
It's good to have you back. Hey,
good to have you.
Are you, I forgot what I was going to say. I had something to say to you about a thing that was science related, and now I forgot. Oh, how much of that space junk up there is ours? You know, we talked about, you know, we're
Luxembourg
joking.
Has 40 pieces of it.
Yeah. We probably have thousands, right?
I'm sure we have quite a lot. I don't know.
Because we're pigs. We throw our trash in the space, and we're gross. Right.
Yeah. Well, it's hard to get it down. Yeah. You know, you say we just throw our trash into space, but when you put it up there, like nobody, it's like, I guess nowadays they talk about having a reclamation plan for all that stuff. You know, you could put there's a lot of ways you could do it, right? If you're going to put a booster on your rocket that you're sending and you know the boosters fall off.
Yeah.
You know, you... This is a bad example because the boosters will fall to Earth. But just imagine that it was intended to come off in orbit and it would be still around orbit. You could attach a little rocket to the booster that just shoots it towards the Earth.
I got it. Okay. You know? Yeah. Like it's, that reminds me of a video game and I can't think of what it was, but there was a game where you could do this very thing, attach a little, they were like a gun shot these rockets, but it shot them to attach to something and then shoot them somewhere else.
Oh, interesting.
That wouldn't be how we did it, I'm sure, but it was a cool idea because you could change the trajectory. Oh, that's what it was. You could fire the rocket, it would go clunk, and then you had a secondary control where you would aim the rocket where you wanted it to go, and then you ignited it, and then that thing would go off wherever
whatever it was attached to would go off in that direction.
Yeah, and you could do it to players and their ships, and I don't remember what game
actually
this
is. Sounds kind of fun.
Yeah, it was. I remember liking it. This may have been late 90s or something. Anyway, well... That's interesting, but that's not really what you brought today. What are we discussing today in the world of science?
Well, I was thinking that we've been talking a lot about, like we as in everyone's been talking a lot about heat lately. Like Amy came on last week and talked about how gross and sticky the heat was and how UK
is hot out there for us pimps.
Yeah.
And how the UK's been getting a ton of heat and unprecedented over in places. So I thought not only would it be interesting to talk about heat and our body's ability to deal with heat, but there's actually a study that was done not too long ago that updated what our understanding is about what the maximum temperatures that are safe for humans to be in are, and it's you'll never believe what it is now.
Oh, wow. I'm going to click this link bait and find out. Tell me more.
Make a face, Bobby, quick. Make a face to make me check out that. There we go. Okay, good. There's the. Now I'll check out this video. Sure. Yeah.
Somebody at home, cap that and go make some fake YouTube art from that. That'd be great.
So anyway. You guys have heard of heat stroke before.
Oh, yeah. Right? I've had that before.
You really? What happened? What was the situation?
All right. So I was in Mississippi. I was on a bike and there was a pier. It was really hot. And we were, I can't remember why we didn't get water that morning. There was something going on where we didn't get water. And I went out on this long bike ride and I'm like, I don't know, 20. And I'm riding this bike and I got a friend there with me. And I look down at my arms. I'm starting to feel just kind of woozy and tired.
Yeah.
I look down at my arms and I'm actually sweating like pee. It's like yellow liquid coming out of my arms.
Oh, God. Okay.
Yeah. A doctor once told me that's your body going, we're all out. Do we have any liquid?
What's the nearest exit?
Yeah, we got, we got some pee left.
Probably your kidneys are starting to fail at that point.
Yeah, kind of. Yeah. I mean, it was pretty gnarly. And I ended up passing out and wiping out on the bike in the ditch. And he turned back around, came to get me. And anyway, it took me a while to kind of come to, got some water in me, and I was okay within a couple hours. But went to the doctor. He said, yeah, you had full-on heat stroke. Nice job. Maybe drink some water. That's what he said.
Yeah, they can do blood tests to determine whether you've had a heat stroke because a lot of things are going on inside your body during heat stroke that are very dangerous and concerning. And it makes sense that it might happen. You said you were in Mississippi?
Yeah, Mississippi. Yeah, very hot.
Because it's very humid there.
Yeah.
And one of the ways that, or the primary way that your body keeps cool is by sweating. And in order for that to work, you can sweat all you want. In fact, when you're in 100% humidity, let's say you sweat quite a lot and you notice it because it's not evaporating. And that's the really important part.
Right.
Is when it's very humid, there's too much moisture in the air that it can't easily evaporate the sweat from your body. And it's that act of evaporation that actually cools you. So heat stroke is more likely to happen in very humid, hot places than it is in dry places.
Right.
And so that makes sense that it happened there. But literally, when you're going into heat stroke, your body is like, it's almost boiling from the inside, right? It's when your body temperature gets over about 104 Fahrenheit or so, or 105, is when this starts to happen. Your body goes through a bunch of inflammation. Your blood actually starts to coagulate inside your body, and it's not great.
No, that seems bad. Situation. That seems really bad. Probably worse, way worse the older you get, right? Because your body's not as good at handling that kind of crap. I'm glad I was 20.
Yeah, and one of the things, one of the first things that shuts down are your kidneys, and that's probably why that started to weird thing with sweat happened. I'm guessing. I don't actually know specifically if sweat is connected.
I think that's what
kidneys.
He said. He said something like, it was a year, obviously a really long time ago, but he said something about kidney. That's when your kidneys are over, you know, they're doing a thing you don't normally, they don't normally need to do or something.
Yeah.
Something
like
that.
Yeah. Now it's, you're lucky that it was happening because of, it sounds like you said you were on a bike. You probably had exertion related heat stroke, which is you're just overexerting yourself in a situation like that. And in those situations, having permanent damage or even death is very unlikely.
Yeah.
And it's because your body's real good at saying, hey, you shouldn't be exerting yourself this much. We're boiling in here. And then it makes it so you can't do that anymore. It just shuts muscles down and says, like, stop, just stop. And so you won't continue to do that. And you'll start to cool down a little bit and everything. But you can experience heat stroke just by sitting there and not doing anything if it's hot enough. And if you're going into heat stroke, it can happen very quickly and cause a lot of damage quickly. But anyway, so what this is all related to temperature. And like I said, you can go into heat stroke just by sitting around. You don't have to be exerting yourself to get into heat stroke. Your body just has to exceed a safe temperature, and your body has to stop being good at keeping yourself cool internally. So what is a safe temperature? And that's what this is all about, right?
Yeah.
I want you to guess. Can you guess what is considered to be a safe temperature in which your body can handle what it needs to be
if
able
I had to
handle?
Guess. I don't know, Brian. What do you think? What do you think?
Maybe 100 degrees. 100 would be, because I mean, you want something close to 98.6, right? Your basic internal body temperature.
That would make sense to me.
You're thinking, Brian. That's a really good place to start in terms of like logically thinking this out. Is your internal temperature versus the external temperature?
Right. Exactly.
I know that I withstood at like 120 once in Phoenix. That doesn't mean I could do it for long. So as far as optimal, Brian's must be right. Like you want to be.
It's
right
probably higher than mine, right? Like you're not talking about the optimal. You're talking about kind of the maximum. Or are you talking optimal?
So we're talking about if you're just sitting around, what is the temperature it could be outside?
Oh, gotcha. Okay.
Before your body will eventually like there's a certain temperature that when you hit that temperature, then anything above that, you're on easy street to heat stroke eventually. If you don't do anything, you will get there. And actually in the chat, we might have some heat stroke experts here. Like Claire apparently knows a lot about heat stroke. because I'm not going to jump the gun. What I wanted to start with is what has traditionally been the common knowledge of what safe temperatures were, and that's about 95 degrees Fahrenheit.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. At 100, so humidity is really important here, as I said. So that's 95 degrees Fahrenheit at 100% humidity, or if you're at 50% humidity, you're talking 115 degrees Fahrenheit. So there's a big range there depending on the humidity. And the way that it's interesting how they determine and measure these temperatures. They it's based on what's called the wet bulb temperature. And this is really cool. So what you can measure is if you take a thermometer and you throw a wet rag over top of it, that's called measuring a wet bulb temperature. And what happens is it measures what the theoretical lowest temperature that any chunk of air can get to by evaporating water, right?
Right.
So when evaporation happens, in close to the place where the evaporation happens, the air gets cooler, and it's because you're literally cooling the air by putting water into it and diffusing like energy and spreading that around and just cooling it off. And so if you put a wet towel, so to speak, it's more technical than this, but put a wet washcloth over a thermometer and measure the temperature, once it equalizes, that's gonna tell you what the wet bulb temperature is, which is the theoretical lowest temperature that evaporation can make that the area around that thermometer. And the reason that's important for your body is because that can tell you theoretically what the lowest temperature your evaporating sweat can make the air around you.
Interesting.
Right?
Okay.
Because your body is kind of like, when it's sweating, you can think of it like the wet rag, right?
Right.
You're just a wet rag at that point. and so when they did a lot of these tests with people and all this kind of stuff, they found that that number. It was a 2010 study that showed about 95 degrees Fahrenheit at 100% humidity. That's safe. That's your body. If it goes beyond that, your body can no longer regulate its own temperature. For a typical healthy person, by the way, this is not for everyone.
Yeah, if you got other issues, sure. Yeah.
Beyond this, the body can't cool itself. So what they did was they actually recently, just this year, or maybe it might have been the end of last year, they updated that because they have new tools where they can measure this. They have these little things called what are they called? They're these little pills that they can, telemetry pills. These little pills you can put in and you can swallow, and they can record your like core body temperature from inside your body. So what they did was they gave people these pills, just normal, healthy people, and had them sit around in a room and just do normal things in your day-to-day life. Sit and read, do stuff on your phone, cook or eat. just things that you would do.
Just go on about your life, yeah.
Yeah, going about your life just like as if you were just a normal person, not doing anything strenuous. And in the room that they were in, this room, they could finally adjust the temperature and humidity of the room. And so what they would do is they would, at a certain humidity, they would slowly increase the temperature or increase the humidity and watch the body temperature of the person. And your body doing its job keeps you at a steady temperature, even if you increase the temperature in the room, right?
Right.
Right.
And so at the moment when your body's temperature starts to increase, as read by this telemetry pill, that's the point right there. Once your body's temperature starts to increase, that's what they call the critical environmental limit. And that's the same thing. And so what they expected to see was this 95 degrees Fahrenheit, right? Because that's what had been thought. Once you reach 95 degrees Fahrenheit, you're on the path to heat stroke.
Interesting. So
they found, though...
Yeah.
Do you think it's going to be higher or lower?
Brian, this is fun.
I would go higher.
I'll go lower just to see what we get here.
I mean, the expected thing is higher, so it's probably going to be lower.
Yeah, you're right. At 100% humidity, it actually was 88 degrees Fahrenheit.
Oh, really?
Really?
Wow. Yeah, much lower than people expected it to be. That's when that was the critical environmental level and limit. That's when people's body temperatures started to go up. And these are healthy, I think they even said athletic adults. so it could be even lower for many people.
Huh.
And so that's the 30, around 30 C that I saw people, 30 Celsius.
Oh, the Celsius, yeah.
Right.
In the
Does that actually add to the... I feel like you just gave us some bad news, because it means with these increased temperatures and with overall global temps going up, even if they're small incremental ones, but you're seeing big heat waves in places that usually don't get heat waves or whatever, we are critically in a bad position for this, because it needs to be much lower than that for us to not start having issues or potentially issues.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's bad.
Yes. That's not a great thing to know that. Now, nothing's changed in the sense that our bodies have not changed. We just now know that it's lower. So you could think about it as a good thing because now we know.
Yeah.
And we've updated our knowledge. It's actually, so at 60% humidity, by the way, which is much lower than 100%. that temperature is 100 degrees Fahrenheit. So still pretty low.
Yeah.
And we're seeing places all the time that are getting up to 100 Fahrenheit.
Wow.
And it's not great. So there's a lot of parts of the world that don't have air conditioning. And so what can you do? What would you do if you were, what would you think you could do to combat heat stroke in these situations?
Oh my gosh. Other than, you know, just flicking on the air conditioning. I mean, jump in the, maybe jump in the shower with the cool water going or something like that.
Sure.
Or,
yeah, like if you're experiencing heat stroke, you definitely want to do something extreme like that. Now, jumping in the shower is not, I wouldn't, you know, most people wouldn't call it extreme, but extreme in the sense that you need to do something now, right?
I mean, Nelly told us to just take off all our clothes.
Yeah, it's getting hot in here.
Yeah, yeah, really he would tell us that. That guy, I think he's one track. So okay, I just watched Prey, and Prey has a plant you can eat. The movie shows this plant that the natives, that the Comanche Nation were eating to reduce their body temperature massively, and then they could, they wouldn't bleed out, was the idea. Do you think that was made up, or do you think that flower exists? Or are there medications like that? Can I just get something that'll go, hey, we're going to make y'all cold until the predator can't see you no more?
Cool off plans, sure.
Yeah. It sounds like made up stuff. And if it does exist, it's probably not something you want to do, is actually mess with the internal temperature of your body. Oh, that's not how you want to combat this. What you want to do is help your body maintain, like in terms of heat stroke, help your body maintain that temperature, not actually have your body's temperature change.
Yeah.
Your body's trying to keep that temperature because that's the temperature at which your internal organs operate the
function
best.
Yeah.
And so you can drink lots of fluids. You mentioned, Scott, when you were in Mississippi, you think you forgot to bring water.
Yeah, I just didn't drink that day. Yeah.
Because if your body runs out of fluids and it stops sweating, then you're very quickly going to head to heat stroke, because that's the main way your body keeps cool, is through sweat.
Yeah.
You can stay out of the sun, of course. You can be in a place out of the sun and get the air moving. If you don't have air conditioning, turn on fans, open windows. Definitely don't be in, like, if you're going to be inside with the shade, don't keep the windows closed if you don't have an air conditioner, because then it's just going to get hotter.
Yeah.
And limit your activity, because exerting yourself can speed up. It increases your body temperature, so you don't want to do that.
Yeah.
Move very, very slowly to the window and open it.
Yeah.
Yes. Roll on the ground.
Almost imperceivably towards the window.
Yeah. That's interesting. So, and the idea, of course, being creating an alternative breeze if you don't have an air conditioner.
Yes. You want air to be moving, because moving air also evaporates things.
That contributes to the evaporation that you're not getting. Okay. Interesting. Yeah. This is why
heat stroke is why you don't leave pets and children in cars, because and the elderly, like pets, children, and the elderly are all more susceptible to heat stroke than younger, healthy people.
Right.
And
it makes sense. So yeah. Well, so the trick is, everybody, stay hydrated. Really, Steven tells us every Monday.
Yeah.
Right. Who knew that we get some Steven in our science day with Bobby?
Who knew that Steven was trying to save your life?
Well, I always had a notion, but now I know for sure. That guy, that's his superpower. Why do you think he's obsessed with comic books? That's what he does. Well, this is great. If you would like to learn more about all this stuff, science related, it's often discussed and talked about on Bobby's show, All Around Science. What are you guys doing this week?
Well, this week, it's funny that you guys mentioned earlier about the Earth spinning faster.
Yeah.
Because there was a news item I covered on yesterday's show that just came out. So if you want to, I dig in deep to what that means, why it is the Earth is spinning faster, if it's going to keep spinning faster, and what it means for us. Because it actually does have some implications for how we do things every single day here on Earth. But you don't need to be scared. People are dealing with it. They're not like it's GPS. They just have to keep calculating it, right?
Yeah.
So to make sure we know, but we do need to know the speed of the rotation of the Earth in order to be doing things. But the main feature on the show was, we have you ever thought about why roots actually grow downward?
Oh my gosh. Yes. Well, some go kind of parallel and irritate the hell out of me and ruin your lawn. But yes, for the most part.
But they first go down into the earth, right?
Yeah, right. They have to go down to go across.
But
yeah,
you
I never thought about that.
When you plant your garden, it's not like you take a seed. The instructions are not to place the seed in a particular way, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's
right.
just the plant. The seed somehow knows.
Some bulbs, though, you do want to plant with the you know,
that's
a certain
true.
Spot down.
But that's because
yeah.
That's true. I think that's a good point. But you know, when you're talking about like a contained seed,
right, with you like sprinkle them. Yeah, who cares?
Yeah, you just throw them down. So yeah. How does the seed know which way to grow the roots? We dug in real, like we talked all about it on yesterday's episode.
Interesting. That's cool.
A lot.
Yeah.
It was all around and all about science yesterday.
All around and all about, but it is all around science is what you need to.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I need to get the other thing that I won't say so that people don't get confused.
So
I need to go ahead and get that domain.
Whichever you are,
and
they
redirect
go to.
It.
Yeah. Exactly. Do you have people who get confused and go to the wrong place or can't find you because they think the name's
no that? One's ever told me that they do, but every once in a while people, when they're saying it out loud, they say the other one.
Make sure
and
you
I,
get
and
the,
I have to correct them
and make sure you get the Canadian version to all about science because you don't want
oh,
any Canadians
right.
going to the wrong place. Yeah
good yeah, point
that geez well
we
all right
have a
then.
Lot of Canadian listeners.
Yeah, I'll bet you. So do we. Canada's there, man. Those guys are awesome. Australia,
they're all listening for that. They're yeah. listening for that sound drop is yeah. what they're
here's another one for them.
Canada,
all of their little receptors just went bing and now they're on for the next episode. Bobby, it's always good to talk to you. I hope you have a fantastic week. We'll do this again next week, and may your frozen camera ever be unfrozen.
Okay, it wasn't just me. All right.
Yeah, it was not just you.
That's how he keeps cool, as he freezes his camera.
Yeah, I mean, wouldn't you if you were Bob? Yes. No, Bobby's a handsome man. He should. He wants to be moving.
It
all
was
the time.
It was a great view of him. You know, with his like.
He was gesticulating,
shrinking. Yeah,
he was doing. He was doing Muppets. He was going hello.
That's right.
Science. All right. Check this out. We got a quick email to get out of here. And it's more of a shout out than anything. But Robin and Jim, fantastic members of our Tadpool, locals here. Jim's just one of the nicest people I've ever met. And Robin
for sure.
is amazing. Every time one of my kids has a birthday or an anniversary or something, one of her amazing custom cards comes in the mail. They're just really
so nice.
Wondrous
yeah.
people. Anyway, he says, hello, Ren and Stimpy. I just want to get some good vibes flowing toward my wife, Robin. She's going to go under the knife this Wednesday. I guess that'd be tomorrow. Mm-hmm. Tomorrow morning for hiatal hernia surgery, and includes either a partial or full wrap of the esophagus with her stomach to reduce acid reflux. She's been on a diet since earlier this year, and today just lost 85 pounds. That's really great.
It is great.
Post-surgery wow. says that she will be on liquids between 2 and 3 weeks. I'm going to be a champ/chump and do the liquid diet with her if I can.
Good. That's no chump at all. That's incredibly nice of you. Wow.
It sounds hard, but I am in awe of you doing that, Jim. Appreciate what TMS does for our spirits as well as the Tadpole and the friendships we've made over the years. You guys all rock, Jim. Well, Jim, I be da bloke in the chat. You were thinking about you. Robin will do great. I have no doubt. And tell the doctor, don't be slippy fingers. Get it all done right, you know. Don't be dropping stuff or do any weirdness. Make it his best work, okay? That's all I'm saying. I've been to West Valley. No, I'm just kidding. You guys are going to be fine. That is good to hear. I'll be really good to hear when she gets out. So let us know. Give us a follow-up in a couple
of days.
Yeah,
please do, for sure.
That's it. Wanted to thank you all for supporting us on Patreon. Patreon.com/TMS is the place. If you haven't already done it, please do so. Lots of reasons to join up, and one very small reason not to, which is none. There's no. It's so small you can't even see it. And that's how small it is, Brian. It's just tiny.
It's how small it is. It's none.
It's imperceptible, basically. So go check it out. Patreon.com/TMS. And for everything else you may be looking for or trying to track down, you'll find it on our website, frogpants.com/TMS. We're going to go, but we can't until there's a song. So make that
Not
happen.
Until I do this. Jeff wrote in, said, hello, Scimitar and Bardiche. Today is my 56th birthday. I don't know if this has been played before on TMS. It hasn't. But recently, I heard this song on Spotify and thought the cover master and the Tadpool might enjoy it. I do. If somebody already has dibs for a request on August 9th, then feel free to play it whenever you need to fill in an open date. Can I get a tender, crisp bacon cheddar ranch?
Always. And it's right here. Whoops.
The tender crisp bacon cheddar ranch.
There you go.
Woo, there we go. I love the show, though, signed Jeff, a.k.a. Keg Tapper, when he's in the tadpole. Well, first off, happy birthday, 56th birthday, Keg Tapper. Nice to see that there are people older than us.
Than us, I know. I love it. I had a guy yesterday going, he was actually being kind of rude. He's a listener of the show, and he's fine, whatever. But he goes, I looked up washed up 52-year-old internet cartoonist on Dally Mini or whatever. And I went, 53, try to keep up. And he wrote, oops, I will. Still love TMS. So I don't know why he was throwing shade, but whatever.
Trolley.
Trolley McTrolley. But anyway, 56. Yeah. Well done, man. It's nice.
Very good.
Ripe old age.
All right. So the song that Jeff wanted to hear is Electric Avenue. You remember that song that by Eddie Grant that goes, oi, at the beginning.
Oi.
And then in two separate instrumental breaks, he goes, oh, yeah. But then also in another one, he goes, oh, no. It's such a weird, you know, make up your mind, Eddie Grant. I'm not sure which it is.
Yep.
Cover is done by a band called Skindred from their album Shark Bites and Dog Fights. They released this thing back in 2009. Here are Skindred and their cover of Electric Avenue.
This show is part of the Frog Pants Network.
Frog Pants Network.
Get more shows like this at frogpants.com.
Hold on.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, everyone. Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.